As you're listening to me, Daisy, Apple's iPhone disassembly robot, is dismantling an iPhone into lots of recyclable parts. That's how Apple recovers more materials than conventional recycling methods. Thanks, Daisy. There's more to iPhone.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Rugby World Cup Ruck, the rugby podcast from The Times and Sunday Times. We're covering every match in the tournament, giving you the best incisive analysis and previewing all the big games. The week began with a blitz of tries from the All Blacks, touching down nine times against Canada. France leaving it late to seal the deal against a courageous USA side. And as of this morning, we saw Fiji put 45 points against Georgia's 10 and Ireland 35 with no reply against Russia. I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, and joining me live from Japan is Stephen Jones. Jonesy, great to have you on the end of the line. Everything okay there in Japan? If we open up with, I guess, a slightly more predictable result, really, New Zealand against Canada. 63-point victory to strengthen their kind of grip on Pool B at the Rugby World Cup. And Steve Hansen, it's his 90th win as an All Blacks coach. He'd be pretty pleased with that, won't he?
Yes, of course he will. But I have to say that, more than Hansen are pleased with it, because I think the organisers, the Japanese and World Rugby, were expecting a three-figure score, Lawrence. And in a way, it seems really bad when you say the 63 points is some sort of moral victory. But Canada have been really, really poor in this tournament. And, 63 was almost acceptable. But, the All Blacks is not their fault. They played well. They've dropped a few balls, but it's a big win for them. The only thing is, I think as you probably remember from your days, when you're playing a team that's so easy, it's just possible you get into bad habits and your attention span goes down. So we'll see. But 63-0 in any language is not a bad result.
Yeah, it's always difficult to know how good you are against such inferior opposition. But I suppose the one highlight would have been the Barrett brothers, Geordie, Bowden and, of course, Scott, all getting on the score sheet. I mean, that's probably something quite unique, really, for as a family. And I'm sure All Black supporters will have enjoyed that. But interestingly, Steve Hansen, you mentioned that they dropped the ball 15 times, actually, and he was at odds to explain to everyone, as I'm sure all the other coaches have been, just how difficult the conditions are out in Japan with the humidity and the heat. And it's possibly not something people watching around the world would really appreciate.
No, you wouldn't. And, the thing is about these stadiums, Lawrence, some of them have got roofs, and they, for some reason I don't understand, those who've got shifting roofs don't take them off. And my goodness, it's like being in a greenhouse to grow tomatoes in. So even the All Blacks can drop the ball in those conditions. I mean, it's not as if it's lashing down with rain or incredibly windy, but it is a lot more difficult to play in these stadiums. And my goodness, you lose half a stone just watching it.
Yeah, if we move on to France now, obviously in England's group, and they played the USA, France were just 3 points ahead with 20 minutes to go. So, still their kind of same inconsistent, slightly ill-disciplined display. They were able to convert three late tries and survive a bit of a scare to see off the USA. But I don't suppose we'll read too much into that, or England fans won't feel too troubled by what they saw.
Absolutely. You put it very, very well. I mean, the thing is, with 15 minutes to go, there's one score in it. And you're looking at the USA team and say, boys, do you realise that this game is there for the taking? I mean, France were very, very poor at the end of it, possibly because of extra fitness and conditioning. They scored three tries at the very end. But there was a time where you think, if USA could just get a pressure platform now and nose in front, this could be one of the sensations of all time. So, Eddie Jones, everyone from Eddie Jones down to the youngest England fan, and we'll be thinking, blimey, we've got to win that game. And unless France come from nowhere, it is a great chance for England. I thought they were really poor, Lawrence, against the USA.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, I'm fascinated to hear from Bernard Leroux afterwards, who's obviously one of the French players, saying that he thought the match was going to be a bit easier and that they got a big surprise in the first half coming from the USA. And he thinks that he thinks that the US will be a big threat in the future.
I mean, well, I mean, they probably will. I mean, the thing is, the tier two nations, as we call them, they advance, but really, really slowly. Mm. Frankly, I don't think that anyone's going to come steaming through. And I'm sure we'll come to Fiji in a minute, but I don't think anyone's going to come steaming through the way that the finances and the games are allocated at the moment. But you know, look, we wouldn't it be lovely if in 8 years' time. USA are good enough to host the tournament.
You know, well, you say that, Jonesy. Actually, I mean, we all know that the World Cup will be going to France, of course, in 2023. But I saw somewhere in the media that the USA have put in two bids for the World Cup in 2027 and the one in 2031. And you've got to feel that, you know, by putting in two bids, it would be fantastic if the US was to get one of those bids successfully. And, you know, as we've seen with Japan in the last 8 years, I mean, Japan were thumped by 100 points in 1995, and look where they are now.
Yes.
You know, who knows what could happen. And Jonesy, even you would have to go on covering the Rugby World Cup to get out to the USA for perhaps maybe even your last hurrah. Who knows?
I'll be a great grandfather by then, Lawrence. you'll only be a mere grandfather. But look, it'll be wonderful. But I still think that you know, you can't give. I mean, Japan have improved as a team. Mm. You can give a World Cup to someone with a massive commercial and television background, such as America, but still, you cannot give it to someone whose team are really poor. So let's hope in the next 4 years, with Gary Gold as coach, they come through. They are getting better. They are getting better, but, you know, you still thought, blimey, boys, if you believed in that game the day before yesterday, if you believed, you could have won it. Mm. And that would have really put you on the map. But in the end, I don't think they quite believed.
Well, talking about winning, very early hours of you know, Greenwich Mean Time, we saw Fiji put on 45 points against Georgia's 10. And it's, I guess, after losing that game to Uruguay through, you know, poor discipline and poor place kicking, it's fantastic to see Fiji put in the kind of performance that we kind of all expected, really, of them before the World Cup. And, you know, whilst we all talk about how good Wales are at the moment, you know, Warren Gatland would have sat up and taken notice of that performance.
He didn't have to see them play today to sit up and take notice, Lawrence. I think he's always been anxious about the game. And, you know, that game, what we have to remember is that all the tier one nations, England, Ireland, Scotland, Wales, New Zealand, they had four or five hard warm-up games. Mm. Fiji didn't have anything like that. And it was always likely that as the tournament goes on, Fiji will get better and better. Now, they had a good half against Australia today, and that's not consider Georgia as easy opponents. They're absolutely not. But in some of the stuff there from Bhatia, from Radradra, was just sensational and just exactly what Fiji are expected to do and what we almost, you know, what we would love to see, what we dream about.
Yeah.
So anyone who's taking the Wales-Fiji game for granted, if Fiji train on, is in Clau Cuchulainn, that could be one of the ties of the tournament.
Well, it's their individual brilliance that makes them so dangerous, isn't it? You know, when we look at those individual names and we, you know, we see the teams that they play for right across the world, but a lot of them in France and in the UK, but across the world, and you think to yourself, any one of those players could light up, you know, a rugby pitch. It's a question of whether they can all come together collectively at that same time against a much more maybe structured and much more disciplined opponent, I guess.
Exactly. I mean, Wales have got structured discipline, and they've got a culture. I mean, I'm not quite sure what that word means, but I think they have it. And you know, they're Fiji are going to need the bounce of the ball. They're going to need their front row to stand up really well. But they will be deadly dangerous. And I don't think actually that Wales will treat that game 1 millimetre as less serious, if you want to put it like that, as the Australian game. Because, you know, if Wales don't beat Fiji, they may as well not beat Australia.
Agreed.
It's a massive game. And, I mean, look, I'm really looking forward to it. And, you know, I've seen Fiji beat Wales in the World Cup before, playing brilliant rugby. And when you got Rendradra and Bolcher and these guys, when you got Rowaka up front and etc., you're really in business.
And just moving on to Ireland, who recovered from that disappointment. I mean, they must have been so desperately disappointed with their own performance, never mind Japan thoroughly deserving it, just from their own point of view. Johnny Sexton back in that side, so important for them. I mean, it wasn't the perfect performance by any stretch, but 35-0, no major injury concerns, I don't think. You know, they managed to nil Russia and sort of job done, really, without being spectacular, and they can focus now on their remaining game.
Yeah, that's true. But as we saw tonight, I mean, first of all, Russia were by no means negligible opposition, and the crowd gave them a massive reception afterwards. But Ireland did the job. I mean, I think we, these days when, as you remember, as you said, that Japan lost, was it 120-odd once, and people are losing by 70 and 80. That's not happening in this tournament. You know, 35-0, five converted tries is by the standards of a non-professional team like Russia, is perfectly good. I think that Ireland needed to get the show back on the road, which they did. As you said, Sexton is so important for them. They've not had great luck with injury, but I think the next thing is, Lawrence, is they have got to erase the Japanese game totally from their memory banks. And they've got to say, look, we're the team that beat New Zealand. We're the team that won a Grand Slam not long ago, and we've got to get back in there because Ireland are going to have one chance in the quarterfinals, and they have to be Ireland as we know and love them.
And do you hold anything to the sort of notion that now, you know, Ireland came into this tournament, I can't even remember whether they were world number one or were they world number two, but they were certainly in the top two, and it just, maybe they just don't particularly feel comfortable with that kind of hunted tag, and they're much more dangerous side when they're the underdogs, when they're coming from behind. And you do feel, given their form coming into this World Cup with the defeat to Japan now, that they will, whoever they end up playing in the quarterfinal, if they make it through, they will be the underdog as opposed to the favourite.
I totally agree. And, you know, let's be fair. You know, the idea of Ireland going out there and saying we are the number one team in the world is very unfamiliar to them, and as you say, not very comfortable. And I think that as you say, the underdog tag is much easier. I think with Ireland, their natural state is bloody-mindedness, and you know, when you play Japan and suddenly your favourites are up against a really good team, it's difficult to handle. And I think that's one of Scotland's problems, Lawrence, that, you know, they don't like it when they get better and better. Suddenly they should win games, and they don't. So, I mean, as you say, I think the animal, for want of a better word, in the Irish performance is now going to show through. And then we'll see what they're really made of, because they have got the players, definitely.
Well, talking of players, that leads us nicely into the big game of the third weekend of Rugby World Cup, at least the big game as far as England fans are concerned. It is, of course, England v Argentina. And let's get into the meat of that game. Of course, England coach Eddie Jones is revered in Japan following his stint in charge of the national team. But what do the local media think of his current side? Owen Slott's been getting the views of the Japanese journalists who are following England.
Your favourite players?
Junimei.
Junimei.
Okay, look him.
Anyone else?
Owen Farrell is a very good player, I think. A little funny before the kick.
Who is your favourite England player?
Wilkinson?
Johnny Wilkinson.
He's gone.
He's gone, yes. Did you know Eddie when he was in Japan?
Yes, of course.
And he was your friend?
Maybe. Nope.
No. Was Eddie ever scary.
Scary.
Yeah.
Scary. On TV. Yeah. But that is the good attitude.
And who is your favorite player in the England team now?
Tsvigulagi. Big player, big runner.
Manu Tuilagi.
I love his style. He has a good physical body.
And anyone else you like?
In England, powerful prop.
Which prop do you like?
Yeah, one, number one.
Number Joe Marler?
Yeah, yeah.
With the funny hair?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Powerful and so like monster.
Like
monster.
Is it like a monster?
Powerful.
Jonesy, I know you and I have been slightly quizzical, if critical, of some of the selections over the last few weeks, but Eddie Jones has picked a team that's the same one that opened the tournament against Tonga, other than the inclusion of George Cruz in place of Courtney Laws, and a real shuffle around on the bench. Great to see Vunipola, Mako that is, Henry Slade and Jack Noel on the bench. So, I mean, by and large, that is a very, very strong-looking team and a very strong-looking bench.
It is indeed. I just would have maybe preferred Mako to start and let's see where he's at, you know, because say they do beat Argentina and they're 20-0 up with 15 minutes to go when he comes on, then suddenly it's slightly different. But let's take those three players. Mako Vunipola is absolutely world-class. At his best, he is a force of nature.
Yeah,
he is absolutely unstoppable, unbelievable. If you want him to play the 80 minutes, he can. Also, I think Mako's equivalent in the back line is Jack Nowell. I think he is a force of nature. I think he's not the fastest, he's not the biggest, but I think he's a brilliant player. And then, obviously, I think Slade is a great footballer too. So, got three good men there. What would be lovely, in my opinion, is if they get ahead of Argentina pretty well and give those three players a really good chance, maybe half an hour, to prove themselves.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand Vunipola having Mako not having played a huge amount of rugby. Eddie Jones will want to just hold him back for the second half because there's no doubt, given the rhetoric and the language and the lead-up to this game, that Argentina are going to come with everything that they've got. And that's another talking point for us, really, Jonesy, because in this world that we live in of sterile press conferences and pre-planned media Q&As, it was Argentina hooker and captain Agustín Crevi who has predicted that the game is going to be like a war. So he's definitely talking it up, if nothing else.
Yes, yes, and sterile press conferences is the right word. I've been to about 4,000 of them over the years, and ever since Sir Clive and you guys retired, that they were never fun anymore. But, you know, everyone's so afraid of offending the opposition and giving them something to cling on to.
Well, you can usually rely on Eddie Jones to throw a couple of grenades in there, but he needs a partner to play with, doesn't he? Really, and in the days of Sir Clive Woodward, he had a nemesis, but he doesn't seem to have as many that sort of bite these days.
No, he doesn't. And Creevy, you know, look, let's be fair to the bloke. I think he's a fantastic bloke, and he's the captain of his country. And I think he just, you know, that word came out. But when you talk about war, people think, well, whoa, you know, I mean, it's not war. It'll never be war. But I think he, you know, what he said, I think what he was saying between the lines was, look, we may not be the greatest team in our history. I mean, Argentina have got a magnificent record in World Cups. But I think the only way they can inconvenience England is really give it the most ferocious blast.
Yeah.
And I think that's what he's saying. Incidentally, Lance, I don't even think that Creevy is the best hooker in the team. I think Montoya has taken over from him, but Creevy may well still be there on the basis.
You've got to say that as an England player, you know, that would really fire me up, really, if that's what Argentina.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And you know, I mean, effectively, Argentina are playing for their World Cup life, because if they lose this match,
Lawrence,
it's knockout rugby for them.
You up. Let's be fair, you didn't have to be called a war to fight. You were always fighting.
No, but I look at that England pack, and he's gone with Itoje and Cruz, and we've got obviously the, you know, Joe Marler, who's had a magnificent tournament, Jamie George, world-class, you know, Sinclair, and we've gone for that kind of youthful back row again of Tom Curry, Sam Underhill, Billy Vunipola. You know, for me, what I'm looking for we're going to find out about England now, and everyone keeps asking me here, and I'm sure they're asking you in Japan, have we got a chance of winning this World Cup? Well, the answer is we don't actually know. And the only way we're going to find out is after games like this weekend and next weekend against France. And what I saw and what the world saw in the game between Wales and Australia was Test rugby played at a different level. In fact, two or three different levels from most of the games that we've seen in this comp. And what I'd like to see from England, we're probably not going to hit those heights, but if we see something that's maybe one or two levels above what we've seen both physically and tactically and in terms of the speed of thought and everything that they do, I'll be a lot happier as an England fan sat here back in London.
As you're listening to me, Daisy, Apple's iPhone disassembly robot, is dismantling an iPhone into lots of recyclable parts. That's how Apple recovers more materials than conventional recycling methods. Thanks, Daisy. There's more to iPhone.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, better get 30, better get 20, 20, 20, better get 20, 20, better get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, it's a massive game for them. No more excuses. This is not a warm-up game. It's not a game against the Tier 2. It is a full, in a sense, it's a knockout game. And this is the one. No more mucking around with the selection. No more bewildering us. Front on, try and put Argentina away by a big margin. I think on Saturday evening, Lawrence, we'll either be saying, blimey, you know, I'm really, really worried about this England team, or we'll be saying they could win this tournament. It's going to be one of the two.
Well, Jonesy, you're always the man who gives everyone the marks. I want every man in my England team to have an 8 out of 10 from Stephen Jones on Sunday morning, because that's, I think, what it's going to take to get England to the next level. You know, that physical.
Absolutely.
That physical. And I'm really looking forward to seeing Billy Vunipola play with his brother on the field, because I think that will bring out that little bit of extra bite that we're looking for from him too. I mean, if I was to put you on the spot, what would you expect from England? I mean, they're only interested in winning, I guess, but can you see it being a tight game, or do you see it being much more comfortable than that?
No, I think it'll be comfortable, because I think Argentina have lost their way. We all love the Pumas. They're my favourite second team, but not this time. And I think England could win this one. I think if they get in early, I think they could win by 25, 28 points. I really do. And then the cat is amongst the pigeons.
And if we look at some of the other preview games, South Africa against Italy. I'm covering this one on ITV. Interestingly, South Africa, obviously disappointing against the All Blacks, very efficient against Namibia. I mean, Italy, this is their big test now. This is their World Cup if they want a chance of progressing. Both teams have sort of used the driving maul. They've scored quite a few tries from sort of traditional old-school tactics. Nothing wrong with that at all. But given what we've seen from Italy, particularly defensively, with South Africa putting their best team out on paper and the best team out there on the field, I'd expect South Africa to want to make a bit of a statement too.
Absolutely. And I think that they were slightly, even though they ran the All Blacks close, they were disappointed with themselves. I think this is a team they really should put away. I mean, we all want Italy to get better in terms of, you know, the Six Nations. We don't want a Five Nations plus Italy.
Yeah.
We want a six. And they've showed signs. But I would be amazed if Italy are in touch at halftime. I really would. I really wish they could be. But, South Africa, a bit like England, Lawrence, no excuses, guys. We're at the business end of the tournament almost, and you've got to win by 35 points. Otherwise, there will be a question mark above you. Mm.
A quick word for our Scottish friends, because I was listening back to the ruck, and I realised that we didn't really pay enough attention to Scotland in the last episode. They comfortably dispatched Samoa, albeit you know, not a spectacular performance. And I know that there's nothing on the imminent horizon, but where would you assess the mood, if you like, of the Scottish camp right now?
When you say your Scottish friends, how many of those are there?
Well, I'm not using both hands, but...
Look, I would love them to keep on going. I mean, Ireland was devastating for them. Samoa, a not easy opposition. Mm. And now and again, he thought, come on, lads, you're almost there. You're kicking into gear. It never quite happened. But they got some good old forwards in there. I love Finn Russell. I love his attitude.
It's just a confidence thing, isn't it? They just need to somehow give them turbo boost themselves and give themselves that, because they've got the ability, albeit, you know, they've not got massive depth in their squad, but they've got the ability to strike.
They've got the ability. And incidentally, some people did complain we didn't give them enough time on the ruck last time out. But let's be fair, it was just 2 minutes after the game. But I think they've got the nucleus. But it's this critical mass point. You know, these games you should win. You should just win them by a point. Mm. If you don't do it, you get set back. Now, you know, Scotland, it is a great chance for them to qualify and then throw the whole kitchen sink in. I think people like Finn Russell, Duncan Taylor, a tremendous player, Stuart Hogg, obviously. And I just think, rather than, you know, in a way, Gregor Townsend, don't overhype them, don't overcoach them, don't keep them popping overloads. Just send them out there, say, boys, play with your heart and your soul. Play as if you're wearing a kilt and see how it goes. I think they're better than their record, and I'd really love to see them, you know, come out firing and cause havoc in the rest of this tournament. It's unlikely, but I think there's just a chance. And you know, get up there and stop promising and start delivering on your promises.
And our final word of the ruck preview goes to our host, Japan. They play Samoa, of course, on Saturday. And after that spectacular, wondrous, amazing performance against Ireland, Jamie Joseph has got the task of rousing them again, really, against Samoa, because, you know, we need to make sure that this isn't a one-off. And the feeling is it won't be. You know, Japan seem very, very focused on their objective, which is to reach the knockout stages of their own World Cup.
You're dead right, and it's funny because when we first came here, you'd ask the waiters and the reception staff about the World Cup, they wouldn't have a clue. Now they're sort of saying, "Oh, Michael Leitch and Horier," and you know, these guys, they suddenly start knowing the names, and you meet people on trains with red and white jerseys on, even though it's not a match day. And God, it is a great chance for them. And with respect to Samoa, I would love to see Japan keep on. But again, it's that thing about the mental build-up, Lawrence. When you're expected to win, it's totally different than when you're not. Mm. And I hope they win, and I hope they create a massive impression in the quarterfinal. They're just such lovely people down here. It's an amazing place. It's annoying, and it's lovely in equal measure. And I would hate it if suddenly they lost momentum, because they're on the verge of taking a whole country with them.
And Stephen, you're obviously getting yourself all geared up for England Argentina. Have you got anything planned? I mean, what's happening across your Rugby World Cup weekend?
Rugby World Cup weekend would be a heck of a lot of work. You've worked for the Sunday Times as well. I thought slavery had been abolished years ago, but clearly not. I've got while she's standing by to do your column, but also David Walsh, our colleague and our friend, is he's got other things on his mind now with the Albert.
Well, there's so much happening in the world of athletics and about
there's
doping that I would imagine David is not getting any sleep whatsoever at the moment.
He's not getting any sleep, and the awful ball is the last from his mind. But we still got an albeit weakened squad without him. And look, the thing is, people say to you, "Oh, you know, you must get tired of rugby," and you know, but it is a hard old thing out here, and but it's wonderful. And I feel like almost childlike, I'm looking forward to it in a childlike way, the England-Argentina game, but also all the other games. This is the World Cup. This is all we've ever wanted. And I'm absolutely really up for it. And I know you will be. I know when you get down here, it'll be double that.
Well, listen, Jonesy, I was about to say reinforcements are on their way, my friend. I'm bringing
much needed.
I'm bringing the body armour and the wallet, and I'm looking forward to it. And listen, the last weekend was just a wondrous World Cup weekend, and if this weekend can match it or even better it, or just give us some incredible stories, some incredible memories, we'll be very, very happy. Jonesy, thank you very much for talking to us.
See you soon, my friend.
Cheers, buddy. Well, my thanks to Stephen and Owen. The Ruck returns on Monday, where we'll be reflecting on the weekend's games and looking forward to the upcoming week of fixtures. To never miss an episode, subscribe now through Acast, Apple Podcast, or your favourite podcast provider. And don't forget, for the best rugby writing and the best coverage of the tournament, subscribe to The Times and The Sunday Times.
iOS helps you control which apps you share your exact location with. There's more to iPhone.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.